Srila Prabhupada Ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta Ki, Grantaraja Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Giridas Maharaj Ki, Janitai Gopri Manan. So what did we discuss in our previous class from the seventh canto? Any other points?
You said that the love was the love is pure instead so that it's coming out as like a mission. So that's why one of the characteristics of devotion is Sri Krishna Krishna, so that can attract. So the love was love could pacify Lord's anger. So that's why the devotee was pushed the love was to pacify.
Good. Okay. So tonight we'll read from verses 21 to 40, and we'll hear about some prayers which are offered by Prahlad Maharaj to Nisringadeva after Lord Nisringa becomes a little pacified by Sri Prahlad. So then Prahlad offers very important prayers, and one of our KMB verses at least is in this section as well. So these are some notable prayers by Prahlad Maharaj. Okay. Thank you for coming on time. Everyone tried to come a little bit earlier. O Lord, O Supreme Eternal, by expanding your plenary portion, you have created the subtle bodies of living entities through the agency of your external energy, which is agitated by time. Thus the mind entraps the living entity in unlimited varieties of desires to be fulfilled by the Vedic directions of karma kanda, fruitive activity, and the 16 elements. Who can get free from this disentanglement unless he takes shelter at your lotus feet? So, Shyam Priya, would you like to read the purpose?
If the mind of the Supreme Personality of God is free from everything, where is the question of being liberated from material engagement to spiritual, blissful life? Indeed, it is a fact that Krishna is the source of everything. As we understand from Krishna's himself in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvat Brahman, all the activities in both the spiritual and material world are certainly conducted by the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the agency of either the material or spiritual nature. As further confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.10, Maya Dakshina Prakriti is Nijapesha Characharan. Without the direction of the Supreme Lord, material nature cannot do anything. It cannot act independently. Therefore, in the beginning, the living entities wanted to enjoy the material energy and to give the living entity all facility. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, has created this material world and gave the living entity the facility to contact different ideas known to the mind. This facility is offered by the Lord to the living entity constitutes the 16 kinds of perverted support in terms of the knowledge given in senses, the working senses, the mind and the spiritual element. The wheel of repeated birth and death and creation are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to direct the devised and living entity in progress toward liberation according to various stages of advancement, different directions are given in the Vedas. If one wants to be elevated to the higher planetary system, he may follow the basic direction, as the Lord states. demigods, this great birth among the demigods. Those who worship gods and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me, those believe in me. The real purpose of the Vedas is to direct one's life on back to God. That the living entity, not knowing the real goal of his life, wants to go and sometimes here and sometimes there, and do sometimes this and sometimes that. In this way, he wanders throughout the entire universe, in prison, in various places, and thus engaging in various activities for which he must suffer the event. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has posted, the common condition living entity, but by the external energy, loitered in the material world, but if by the good fortune he meets the bona fide representative of the Lord, who gives him the seed of devotional service, and if he takes advantage of such a guru or representative of God, he receives the bhakti lata bij, the seed of devotional service. If he properly cultivates Krishna consciousness, he is then gradually elevated to the spiritual world. The ultimate conclusion is that one must surrender to the principle of Bhakti Yoga. For then, one will gradually attain liberation. No other matter of liberation from the material struggle is at all possible.
Okay. Thank you. So what are the points in this opening paragraph?
The Lord has created this world, and He has given all the facilities for people to either progress towards the health, or to progress towards the Sanoka, or to progress towards the heaven. And it's for us to decide which way we want to go.
Good. Any other points?
The real purpose of it is to divert back to God.
Good.
Both the material and the spiritual nature act according to the direction of the Lord. It is for living entity to choose where he wants to be. If he decides if he wants to be under the influence of the most of material nature, he will be directed in a particular. Our soul is living in it is unfortunately takes the shelter of the bona fide guru, then the spiritual nature will direct him back to God.
Good. Anything else? So we have the famous adage or saying, man proposes, God disposes. So it is up to us where we want to be. If you want to stay in the material world, Krishna can facilitate that for you. If you want to go back to the spiritual world, Krishna can also arrange that for you. So it is our choice. Krishna has his energies, the internal energy. So if you want to be under the influence of the internal energy, then Krishna will instruct the internal energy to cover you and to bring you closer to Krishna. But if you want to stay under the control of the external energy, then you will be placed into the care of Maya or Durga, which is what we're experiencing now. We'll hear more about this soon, what it's like being under the influence of Maya or Durga. So the whole point of the Vedic literatures is to first of all regulate us. We must become regulated. If you don't regulate your activities, then you cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. So therefore we have the regulative principles. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, these are the regulative principles of freedom. You cannot become free from the material world unless you follow regulative principles. So it is necessary. That's why at the time of initiation you have regulative principles, which we vow to follow. If you don't follow these things, you cannot become liberated from the potency of the material energy. Now, by following the Vedas, by following the regulative principles, what will be the result? We will gain control over the senses. Now this is necessary. This is how spiritual life begins, with sense control and mind control. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says in the very beginning of the Upadeshamrita, you have to control your vegans. Vegan means your urges. We must gain mastery. That's why he says you must become a Goswami. Goswami means one who has control of the senses. If you cannot master the senses or control the senses, then you can't progress in spiritual life. So first things must come first. First you become a Goswami, then you can continue in spiritual life. Then you can advance in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it's not possible to advance in Krishna consciousness. So the ultimate goal of life is to go back home, back to Godhead, and the Vedas, they instruct us, they guide us to that realm. But it begins with regulation, Vedic regulation. You follow the regulative principles, then you can approach the higher things in Krishna consciousness. But if you try to approach them prematurely or artificially, then you will fall on your face. You will not advance in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, now the 10th canto is not spoken first. The 10th canto is after the other 9 cantos. Because then, if you purify your consciousness and control your senses, then you can understand something of the 10th canto. Otherwise, it's not possible. So this is the system, the Vedic system. It's first sense control, mind control, and then you can advance in Krishna consciousness. So we should take advantage of this opportunity. We have an opportunity given to us, so take advantage of it. Chanakya Pandit says, something auspicious must be begun immediately. You don't put it off until tomorrow. I was just speaking to one devotee just before. And, he was saying that, he's not advancing because he's not. But the conclusion that I said to him is because you're not trying hard enough. That's the point. Just like one time, one person said to Prabhupada, why is it that we are in Maya? Or why is it that Maya has control of us? Prabhupada said, you are not sincere enough. You lack sincerity. You are not serious. Because when you are sincere, you are serious, then you progress in Krishna consciousness. So you have to do some tapasya. Tapasya means austerity for the pleasure of Krishna. This is Rishabdev's instruction, Brahma Sokyam. To attain Brahma Sokyam, or spiritual happiness, Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness, then you have to perform tapodivyam, spiritual austerity. By performing this austerity, then you can advance in Krishna consciousness. Any points so far? Okay. What's that? What are you referring to? Ravana said? Maschinaki? Yeah, I thought Chanakya said it. Okay. My dear Lord, O Supreme Great, you have created this material world of 16 constituents, which you are transcendental to. But you are transcendental to their material qualities. In other words, these material qualities are under your full control, and you are never conquered by them. Therefore, the time element is your representation. My Lord, O Supreme, no one can conquer you. As for me, however, I am being crushed by the wheel of time, and therefore I surrender fully unto you. Now kindly take me under the protection of your lotus feet. Yogeshwara Govinda Prabhu, please read the second paragraph.
So this is from Samadharma?
No, the word Nishpidya.
Okay, yep. The word Nishpidya Yamanam, being crushed, is very significant. Every living entity in this material condition is actually being crushed again and again. And to be saved from the position, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one will be happy. The word pratanam is also very significant. For unless one fully surrenders to the Supreme Lord, one cannot be saved from being crushed. A criminal is put in prison and punished by the government. The same government, if it likes, can release the criminal from imprisoned life. Similarly, one must know conclusively that our material condition of suffering has been allotted to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we want to be saved from this suffering, we must appeal to the same controller. Thus, one can be saved from this material condition.
Any interesting points?
We are all criminals, otherwise we wouldn't be having meth.
Good. Anything else?
This says to me that there's this thing called Krishna Rakhi Marathi, Krishna Marathi, Krishna Rakhi.
Anything else?
You must surrender to me.
Any other points?
How do you understand this? You must be confused in that material condition of suffering has been allotted to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
It means through his agency. It means through Maya. Maya Yakshena. Krishna says, I glance. Then Maya does everything. It's not that Krishna is personally doing it, but he's doing it through his energy. Not that. So, everyone in this material world is being crushed. Material world key?
Yeah.
This is Durga Dham, Devi Dham. So, Prahlad Maharaj gives the example. The sugar cane is put through the wheels. Huh? Imagine if your fingers got stuck in there. Crushed. That's what the material world is like. It crushes us gradually. So, it comes at different times in their lives. Some people get it in their 20s, some people get it in their 30s, some people get it in their 40s, or their 50s, or their 60s, or their 70s, or 80s. We just all get it at different times. But we're all getting crushed. If I look at everyone in this room, I can't see anyone who doesn't have a problem. Because you tell me about them all the time. So you've all got your problem. And just, we've all got different problems. Like I was speaking to Jagat Tarini Mataji last week, and she's saying about me, we're discussing my problem. And then I said, Mataji, as far as I can see, everyone's just getting it in a different way. I've got my particular flavor or particular, you know, when you go to the ice cream shop, you have 24 different varieties. So we all just get a different variety, that's all. I get it one way, you get it one way, you get it the next way, we're all going to get it. But the fact is that all of us are being crushed. That's the nature of the material energy. So don't expect otherwise. When it happens to you, don't complain. Right? Just hold your hands together and just be very humble. And just pray to Krishna. Krishna, I deserve far worse, but you are giving me this mercy. Okay. It's easy to say that. I don't do it very well when it happens. When I'm being crushed, I don't do it very well. I don't just sit there and just say, thank you very much. But that's what we should say. That's what the advanced devotees say. The pure devotees, they pray like that. So, this material world crushes each of us. So Prabhupada says, I will die today, and you will die tomorrow, and he will die the next day. So that is the nature of the material world. Everyone is being crushed in different ways, that's all. So only one person can save us. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan, a key.
Yeah.
He's the only one who can save us. He's the only one who can give liberation. He's the only one who can take us out of this material world. But he has to get a recommendation. And that comes from the spiritual masters. Spiritual master will say, Krishna, please accept this person. When we are recommended to Krishna, then we will become liberated when he decides. He will take us out of this material world, back to the spiritual world, to serve him once again. But that's up to him. But we need a recommendation. Just like you can't get into Parliament House as an example. You can go in there. There's like a general public admission. But if you want to get into the inner chambers, then you need representation. You need someone to get you into the inner chambers like that. So to get into the spiritual world, we need a recommendation. So we have to serve very sincerely. And when the spiritual master is satisfied, he will recommend us to Krishna. He will say, please take these, accept these souls back to Godhead. Mm-hmm. He will recommend it. We're passed up the disciplic succession. Finally to Srimati Radharani and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And they will recommend us finally to Krishna and to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then we'll have a home. So this is the only way to solve the problems of life, when Krishna gives us his mercy. Up until then, we simply have to accept in the material world you will suffer. Anyone understand what I'm talking about tonight? Good. Okay, we're all on the same page. So, any questions or comments?
I think,
yes,
no. When he was entering from to Afghanistan to India, in Afghanistan, I think he enters into a cave, and suddenly he finds a few skeletons hanging there. And he feels as if the skeletons are talking to him, saying that yesterday I was like you, tomorrow you will be like me.
Praying to Krishna or taking shelter when we are in trouble and to get us out of this material world, isn't that also somewhat a desire for enjoyment, because we are very in a very miserable condition here, we are taking shelter in that way. Is that a pure desire to have what you are?
No, it's not pure. It's not pure. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim kapitam. Ayi nanda chanam cha kinkaram. But if you go into the higher levels of bhakti, in the final verse of Shikshastika, whether you handle me roughly by your embrace or make me broken hearted by not being present before me, still you are my Lord. So it's not a pure desire to pray, Krishna, relieve me of my suffering. Although, at least if you're doing it, that is good. Akama sava kama va. So at least you're approaching Krishna, that's good. But it's not pure bhakti or pure devotional service. But it's a very advanced level of devotional service. Certainly not what I have come to. You know, I hear about it all the time and I try to do it, but it's very difficult to actually do it. Most of the time I just say to Krishna, just get me out of here. You know, whenever you're ready, just get me out of here. Right there. I'll give you whatever you want. Just get me out of here. But it doesn't work like that. That's not pure devotional service. Not that. So, any other points?
See, I was just thinking, see, it's written there that our leader's condition of suffering is allotted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it is because of our karma that we allot all this.
Yeah.
It is our doing.
Man proposes?
Yeah. Well, we should
you should behave yourself, that's the point.
Yeah, that's
good. When we start practicing this, only then at least we come to an understanding of that we are suffering. Otherwise, out there, if you go and say someone that you are suffering, they will be looking at us. What do you mean by suffering? And enjoying it. So,
no, not necessarily. Even the non devotees are totally atheists. Some of them just realize they're suffering.
Yeah, only in that situation. So, but now we know that anyone.
They just don't have the answer, that's the point.
They
don't have an answer. But they're suffering. They know they're suffering. You speak to many non-devotees. They'll say, yeah, I'm just suffering. But they don't know what the answer is. That's the point. Okay. Any other points? Okay. My dear Lord, people in general want to be elevated to the higher planetary systems for a long duration of life, opulence and enjoyment. But I have seen all of these through the activities of my father. When my father was angry, he laughed sarcastically at the demigods. They were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movements of his eyebrows. Yet my father, who was so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment. Sri Raja Prabhu.
Within this material world, one should understand by practice, by practical experience, the value of material opulence, longevity and influence. We have actually experienced that even on this planet, there have been many great politicians and military commanders, like Napoleon, Hitler, Subhash Chandra Bose and Gandhi. But as soon as their lives were finished, their popularity, influence and everything else finished also. The Lord Maharaj formally gathered the same experience by saying the activities of Hiranyakashipu, his great father. Therefore, the Lord Maharaj did not give any importance to anything in this material world. No one can maintain his body or material achievements forever. A Vaishnava can understand that nothing within this material world, not even that which is powerful, opulent or influential, can endure. At any time, such things may be vanquished. And who can vanquish them? The Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, one should conclusively understand that no one is greater than the Supreme Great, since the Supreme Great demands Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja. Every intelligent man must agree to this proposal. One must surrender to the Lord to be served from the ruler to be employed by all the witnesses.
What are the points?
Krishna understands that nothing within this material world is permanent.
Anything else?
Sarvam hymn that if you are very, very rich or opulent, very beautiful or too much power, well, we should realize that this is all a gift to us from God. And in place of feeling sorry, we should surrender unto Him.
Okay. Good.
Krishna tells to us in 9.33, Anityam Kosukam Lokam Ivam Prapya Bhajaswam. You attain this temporary world, which is full of miseries. So, worship.
So that is nature of the material world. It is temporary and it is full of suffering. So one time, we told this story before, Krishna gave a letter to Arjuna. He said to Arjuna, do not open this letter until you reach your darkest hour. And so Arjuna kept the letter with him for many years. And then around about the time of the battle, when Arjuna was going through the most difficult time, then finally he opened the letter, which he had for many years from Krishna. And there's beautiful gold handwriting from Krishna himself. And Krishna had written, this too will pass in time. So it's the nature of the material world. Everything passes in time. So we just have to tolerate, which is what Krishna tells us in the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, titikshaswa. Be tolerant. Because it will pass. It will pass. And Prabhupada, he always advised his disciples. Sometimes they'd write to Prabhupada, and they would say, Prabhupada, I'm going through so much difficulty. And Prabhupada would say, you just tolerate it. And by tolerance, then gradually everything will pass in time. So the material world is a great test of that. But we should understand at the end of the test, we will reach Krishna. If we pass the test, that's the point. The test is to remember Krishna under all circumstances. Not easy to do it, but we should try to remember Krishna under all circumstances. And that will liberate us from this material. Any points?
Does this mean those who are suffering more, they have got more chance of going to Krishna?
Those who remember Krishna the most have the most chance to go to Krishna. Because you might suffer more, but you might forget Krishna.
Okay.
So whoever remembers Krishna the most, he goes to Krishna.
Okay.
So, please remember him. Okay. My dear Lord, now I have complete experience concerning the worldly opulence, mystic power, longevity and other material pleasures enjoyed by all living entities, from Lord Brahma down to the ant. As powerful time, you destroy them all. Therefore, because of my experience, I do not wish to possess them. My dear Lord, I request you to place me in touch with your pure devotee and let me serve him as a sincere servant. So Prabhupada explains in the purport the difference between the different types of intelligence. Third class intelligence means we hear about something but we keep doing the same mistake again and again and again. Second class intelligence means we hear about something, we make the mistake and then we learn. But first class intelligence means you just hear about it and then you understand the nature of this world. So Prahlad Maharaj is first class. He just hears this material world is a place of suffering and he realizes it. He doesn't have to go through the whole thing. He's only 5 years old. He doesn't waste his life in sense gratification. So that is first class. So we should also try to be first class. Most of us are second class. But we should try to become like a first class person. Just hear that this material world is suffering and accept it and surrender to Krishna. Save yourself a lot of problems. Now, Prabhupada also explains in the second paragraph that the way that we become Krishna conscious is by serving the Vaishnavas. And you'll see through this whole section, Prahlad Maharaj constantly gives credit to Narad Muni, his spiritual master. So it is by the mercy of the devotees, by serving the devotees, we become liberated. So we should try to serve the devotees to the best of our ability. And by doing service to the devotees, then Krishna will recognize us. You can't be recognized by Krishna in any other way. Lord Chaitanya's teachings only have three main features. As mentioned, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Vaishnav Seva, Nama Ruchi, and Jiva Doya. So, Jiva Doya and Vaishnava Seva means you're serving. Serving those who know about Krishna and serving those who do not know about Krishna by trying to help them become Krishna conscious. Then you will get Nama Ruchi. Then you will get taste, the chances. Then you'll be enthused in devotional service. If you're always preaching, you're always stay enthused. If you're always serving, you're always stay enthused. Then you don't lose your enthusiasm. Any points? In this material world, every living entity desires some future happiness, which is exactly like a mirage in the desert. Where is water in the desert, or in other words, where is happiness in this material world? As for this body, what is the value? It is merely a source of various diseases. The so-called philosophers, scientists, and politicians know this very well. But nonetheless, they aspire for temporary happiness. Happiness is very difficult to obtain, but because they are unable to control their senses, they run after the so-called happiness of the material world and never come to the right conclusion. So Prahlad Maharaj is speaking very directly. That's why Prabhupada was so fond of Prahlad Maharaj's instructions, because he speaks very directly. Asadhu means one who cuts, one who just speaks very directly, to cut through our maya, our material attachment. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying that all the plans we make in the material world are ultimately futile. Because he has first-hand experience. He saw his father, who was materially became very successful, but he saw that everything was just wasted. So we should not pursue material sense gratification. We should not follow the examples of the materialists. Even though our family puts pressure on us constantly. Family was always saying, you don't have enough money yet. You don't have enough children yet. What about your relatives? And they just put pressure on us all the time. So it's a great test, especially for the Indian body devotees. They get a lot of pressure from their families. So it is a great test. So you have to be very strong, very focused on Krishna consciousness, and be very attached to your spiritual masters, so that you do not become bewildered like that. Because it's all futile. They put pressure on you, become materially successful, but it's all futile. That's not the answer to life. You should just keep enough material commodity just to keep your body and soul together comfortably. That's enough. Live simply. So Prabhupada says this in the second paragraph. He said you should live simply in this material world. Don't live opulently. Just live a simple life. We don't need so much. You don't need so much material facility. Just like when you're asleep at night, what are you thinking of?
Nothing.
Yeah, very good. Nothing. So where does it matter where you're sleeping? You don't know where you're sleeping anyway, so what's the difference? Whether you're on the floor on a mattress or whether you're on some opulent bedstead, what's the difference? You're asleep, so you don't really know. Right? So just live simply, that's the point. You don't need material opulence. Just have enough to keep your body and your soul comfortable together. Okay? So you can focus on Krishna, but just live simply. That's the nature of a devotee. A devotee doesn't aspire to have more and more and more and more. Okay? That's just maya. That will distract you from your Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Achahara, Priyashascha, don't over-accumulate. Right? Just have enough. One car is enough. Which country in the world has the most cars per capita?
Australia.
Wrong.
India.
Wrong.
China.
Wrong.
America.
Wrong.
Italy.
Very good. Who said Italy?
Me.
Very good. The smartest person in this room. Italy. 2.1 cars per person. And they have a lot of kids there as well. So it means each kid's got 2.1 car as well. 2.1 car per capita. That doesn't even make sense. That means like each family must have 3 cars or something. That's ridiculous. Right? Is that necessary? No, it's not necessary. 1 car's enough per family. Or maybe 2, if you live, you know, in circumstances like that. But it's not necessary. Like that. Nature of the material world. They will push you constantly to say that you need more, you need more, you need more. We are bombarded continuously. Okay. So be intelligent, by Prahlad Maharaj. That's why you have to hear all the time. If you stop hearing, you become bewildered. So don't stop hearing. Otherwise you'll get into maya. Like the Italians. A lot of maya over there. Very good, Hare Krishna. We'll give you a ladu after the class. Very good. Any points?
Srila Prabhupada tells about the song in Bengali. I constructed this home for happiness. Unfortunately, there was fire and everything was burned to ashes.
We say that simple living and high thinking, but actually, we have high thinking and high living and no thinking.
That's the motto. Don't think too much, but just do as much as you can. Yeah, very, very foolish. Okay. O my Lord, O Supreme, because I was born in a family full of hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance, what is my position? And what is to be said of your causeless mercy, which was never offered even to Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi? You never put your lotus hand upon their heads, but you have put it upon mine. So, we want to attract Krishna's causeless mercy. How do you attract Krishna's causeless mercy? Srila Prabhupada actually says, you need to preach. Then you will attract Krishna. Prabhupada says that. He said, by preaching you attract Krishna. Krishna becomes attracted to you. Krishna says at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, one who explains this knowledge to my devotee, he becomes dear to me. So Krishna is watching. When Krishna sees us preaching and taking risk and sacrificing to give Krishna consciousness to others, then Krishna recognizes that devotee. So this is the secret, actually. If you want to reach Krishna, then you have to do some preaching. Then, Prabhupada says that A devotee is satisfied in any condition as long as he has the opportunity to serve Krishna. So a devotee is not attached to material opulence. He just wants the opportunity to serve Krishna. A devotee is not looking all the time. I need a better situation. This is material consciousness. A devotee is just satisfied with what he has been given by Krishna. And Krishna always gives us enough. Hands up if you don't have enough. Hands up if you have enough.
Way too much.
That was my next question. Hands up if you've got way too much. Okay. Hands up if you've got a little bit too much. Yeah. Most of us got too much. We don't even need what we've got. Myself and my wife, every 6 months or so, we go into our storeroom. We have one room where we just keep everything. And then we just clean it all out. And what we don't need, we just give it away. Because you just accumulate. In household life means just accumulation. You don't even know how it got there. Now, sometimes she says to me, "How did that get there?" I said, "I don't know." Things just arrive like that. So that is the nature of the material world. So a devotee chooses to live simply. Not in poverty, because Chanakya says poverty is the cause of all bad qualities. You see, people who live in poverty, they always develop bad qualities. Unless they're very advanced, like that. But generally, you see, most people, they develop bad qualities. So we should not live in poverty, but we should live simply, voluntarily. Voluntarily, you should renounce this material world. Just like His Holiness Indrajumna Swami, right? He looks through his possessions and then he cuts it down. And he tries to make his bag smaller. When he's traveling around the world, he has one bag and he always tries to make that smaller. And he gets a computer and he tries to get a smaller computer. So he always tries to downsize. Now that's this spirit of renunciation that we should have. When you get to the age of 50, you should downsize. Everything should go down. Up until 50, then okay, maybe you're accumulating. That's the nature of grihastha life. But then after 50, that's it. Everything should be going the other way, not increasing. You shouldn't be worried about getting houses and cars and all these things. Do that when you're young. Right? When you're young, fulfill all your material desires. Get it out of your system. Prabhupada says, get it out of your system so that when you're old, you can chant Hare Krishna peacefully. You don't want to be 60 and 70 and still be chanting and still thinking, "Oh, I wish I had another apartment. I wish I had a new car." You don't want to be chanting like that. You want to have all the desires cleansed like that. So get it out of your system while you're young. So, any points? Unlike an ordinary living entity, my Lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, the favorable and the unfavorable, because for you there is no conception of higher and lower. Nonetheless, you offer your benedictions according to the level of one's service, exactly as a desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desires and makes no distinction between the lower and the higher. Now, one very famous verse. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narad Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? So, we can only approach Krishna through the mercy of the spiritual master. Right? If the spiritual master is merciful, we will have a chance to one day meet Krishna personally. But without the mercy of the guru, we will never meet Krishna. So, in one sense, you can say this is the essence of the Bhagavatam. Gopi Bhatu Pada Kamala Yoga Dasa Dasa Anu Dasa. We are just the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So that is our position. We are the servant of our spiritual masters, of the Vaishnavas, of Tulsi Devi. We are the servant. And by serving, then we will be accepted by Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaji emphasizes this all the way from back from chapter 5 when he started instructing his school friends. He has constantly recognized the debt which he has to his spiritual master. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, how can we repay the debt to you?" Prabhupada said, "Actually, it is not possible." He said, "But if you want to try, you must preach vigorously like me." So if we follow Prabhupada's example, then we can begin to repay our debt for the spiritual master. We'll never repay the debt, but we can begin to. Okay. "My Lord, O unlimited reservoir of transcendental qualities, you have killed my father, Hiranyakashipu, and saved me from his sword. He had said very angrily, 'If there is any supreme controller other than me, let him save you. I shall now sever your head from your body. Therefore, I think that both in saving me and in killing him, you have acted just to prove true the words of your devotee. There is no other cause. My dear Lord, you can alone manifest yourself as the entire cosmic manifestation. For you existed before the creation, you exist after the annihilation, and you are the maintainer between the beginning and the end. All this is done by your external energy through actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, whatever exists externally and internally is you alone. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the entire cosmic creation is caused by you, and the cosmic manifestation is an effect of your energy. Although the entire cosmos is but you alone, you keep yourself aloof from it. The conception of mine and yours is certainly a type of illusion, Maya, because everything is an emanation from you and is therefore not different from you. Indeed, the cosmic manifestation is none different from you, and the annihilation is also caused by you. This relationship between your lordship and the cosmos is illustrated by the example of the seed and the tree, or the subtle cause and the gross manifestation." So this is the basic philosophy of Achintya, Veda, Veda, Tattva. Achintya means inconceivable. Veda, Abheda means the same as and different from. Tattva. So everything is Krishna, but everything is different from Krishna. So like Prabhupada was explaining this point one time on a lecture. It might have been Los Angeles, I think. Prabhupada was explaining this point, and Prabhupada said, "I am Krishna." And everyone laughed. And then Prabhupada himself, he laughed. It was like a slip of his tongue. He said, "I am Krishna." And then everyone cracked up, everyone started to laugh, and then Prabhupada also laughed. And then he kept lecturing, and after a couple of minutes he said it again. He said, "I am Krishna." And it was a mistake, he said it, but somehow his tongue slipped. So in one sense that is true. In one sense we are all Krishna. Because we are created by Krishna. We are Krishna's energy. We don't exist separate from Krishna. We don't exist without Krishna. We are only created by Krishna. So in one sense, everything is Krishna. We are all Krishna. But in another sense, we're totally different from Krishna. We're part and parcels. Parcels means separated. That is called tatashta. Tatashta means? Yeah, marginal. Or it means like a separate energy. So everything is Krishna, but everything is different from Krishna. This is the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. "O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, after the annihilation, the creative energy is kept in you, who appear to sleep with half-closed eyes. Actually, however, you do not sleep like an ordinary human being, for you are always in a transcendental stage beyond the creation of the material world, and you always feel transcendental bliss. As Karanadakshaya Vishnu, You thus remain in your transcendental status, not touching material objects. Although you appear to sleep, this sleeping is different from sleeping in ignorance. So when we sleep and when Krishna sleeps, it is two different things. Krishna's sleep is called Yoga Nidra. Yoga Nidra means mystic slumber or divine slumber. It means when Krishna's asleep, he's not actually sleeping, he's conscious and his dreams are real. So his pastimes continue in a dream state, but because he is absolute, it's a real exchange. Whatever he dreams about, it is reality. When we sleep, there are three phases of sleep. Or there's three levels of consciousness. One is wakefulness, one is dreaming state, and the other one is deep sleep. So when we're in deep sleep, we're totally unconscious of anything, practically. When we're in dream state, all sorts of crazy things happen. When you're dreaming, your mind just goes, you know, if we tell each other about some of the dreams that we've had, you know, we all have some amazing dreams. Like things just... Even Prabhupada used to have dreams like that. Prabhupada woke up and he said to Hari Sori one time, he said, I was dreaming. He woke up in Vrindavan. He said, I was dreaming. The temple was flooding. The Krishna Balaram temple. It was flooding. You know, it's got like the whole courtyard. And the whole courtyard was filling up with water. And Prabhupada said, I had a dream and it was all like going like that. Prabhupada actually explained that sometimes it is explained the spiritual master receives his karma when his disciples are not following the principles. Sometimes the spiritual master has bad dreams. So Prabhupada explained that sometimes bad dreams would take place or strange dreams would take place. So Arjuna, Prabhupada points out, in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, his name is Gudakesh. Gudakesh means one who has conquered sleep. Arjuna, it is said that he used to practice archery in the dark. Dronacharya instructed Arjuna's servant, when he was living in the Himalaya with Dronacharya and they're being trained by Dronacharya, he once said to the servant of Arjuna, he said, never serving food when he is in the dark. He said, never serving food in the dark. So at one time, because Arjuna came back late from practicing his archery, he came into his tent and he said, bring me prasad. So the servant brought prasad, even though Dronacharya said never serve him in the dark. So they took it in, they had a candle, and then because it was windy in the Himalayas, the wind blew through the tent and blew out the candle. So Arjuna started eating in the dark. And then he thought to himself, well, if I can eat in the dark, it means I can practice archery in the dark. And Dronacharya didn't want him to, because he wouldn't stop. Once he picked up the bow and arrow, he'd just go all day. It's like sometimes the kids pick up the soccer ball. And that's it. All day, all night. Like that. So that'll do it. So Arjuna was like that. When he was young, he'd pick up the bow and arrow and that was it. They couldn't stop him. He just kept going. You know, when your mother used to call out to you, hey, come back. Time to come for dinner. And you say, yeah, I'm coming. But you just keep playing and playing and playing. You'll play all night. So Arjuna was like that. So he was called Gudakesh. Gudakesh means he conquered sleep. He gets to stay up all night and practice archery, even in the dark. But we are not like that. We can't even stay awake in Bhakti Vedanta calls. to be called Gudakesh is far beyond us. We should be called Tamagun Das. Nidra Das. What is it? Some of you. Some of you I struggle with. I have to get a long stick. Most of you are very good. Except for you. Glad you don't like that. Actually, there's that pastime where Nidra Devi, she comes to the Lord and she says, I cannot affect your devotees because your devotees are so pure, they're so advanced. I can't affect them. They can never fall asleep. So she said, I need some benediction from you that sometimes I can make them sleep. So the Lord gave benediction. He said, okay, in the Bhagavatam class. The cure for insomnia. Om Namo Bhagavate. Sometimes you're giving class and people are going.
That's not true, is it?
Yeah? Not in this class, but in the morning class. No, it's true. That's a true story.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's a true story. No, you gave the benediction, you'll fall asleep in the Bhagavatam class. Yeah, sometimes we can give the class, the body's looking straight at you and they're going. So I tell them, in my class it's hard to fall asleep. In this class, in the evening, generally they don't fall asleep, but in the morning class they do. So if they do, I look straight at them and I say, don't fall asleep in the class. I embarrass them in front of everyone, just so they wake up like that. Or I say, you know, if you're tired, then go and stand up. Prabhupada would say that. Sometimes Prabhupada would stop the class because his devotees were falling asleep. Prabhupada would say, go and stand up. Or sometimes he'd say, go and take a rest. If you're tired, go and take a rest. Don't sleep in the class. It's offensive to sleep in the class, actually. Okay. This cosmic manifestation, the material world, is also your body. This total lump of matter is agitated by your potent energy known as Kala Shakti. And thus the three modes of material nature are manifested. You awaken from the bed of Shesh, Ananta, and from your navel a small transcendental seed is generated. It is from this seed that the lotus flower of the gigantic universe is manifested. Exactly as a banyan tree grows from a small seed. From that great lotus flower, Brahma was generated. But Brahma certainly could see nothing but the lotus. Therefore, thinking you to be outside, Lord Brahma dove into the water and attempted to find the source of the lotus for 100 years. He could find no trace of you. However, for when a seed fructifies, the original seed cannot be seen. Lord Brahma, who is celebrated as Atma Yoni, having been born without a mother, was struck with wonder. Thus he took shelter of the lotus flower, and when he had been purified after undergoing severe austerities for many hundreds of years, he could see that the cause of all causes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was spread throughout his own body and senses. Just as aroma, although very subtle, is perceived in the earth. Lord Brahma could then see you possessing thousands and thousands of faces, feet, heads, hands, thighs, noses, ears, and eyes. You were very nicely dressed, being decorated and bedecked with varieties of ornaments and weapons. Seeing you in the form of Lord Vishnu, your symptoms and form being transcendental, your legs extending from the lower planets, Lord Brahma achieved transcendental bliss. My dear Lord, when you appeared as Hayagriva with the head of a horse, you killed two demons named Madhu and Kaitava. You were full of the modes of passion and ignorance. Sorry. Who were full of the modes of passion and ignorance. Then you delivered the Vedic knowledge to Lord Brahma. For this reason, all the saints accept your form as transcendental, untinged by material qualities. So Prabhupada emphasizes that in order to realize Krishna, you must first cultivate Sattva-guna. So if you read the Nectar of Instruction, then Prabhupada emphasizes in the very beginning, in the introduction, he says that to advance in Krishna consciousness, you must rise from passion and ignorance to sattva-guna. From sattva-guna, and Prabhupada explains this in the purport, Krishna is not attracted by sattva guna, because he is in transcendental goodness. He is in Vishuddha sattva, pure goodness. But sattva guna is conducive for practicing Krishna consciousness and developing pure goodness or transcendental goodness, or coming to the transcendental platform. That is why it is emphasized by the Bhagavatam that we must practice devotional service in the mode of goodness. We must cultivate the mode of goodness. And you see, the problem with the world these days is that it is too much in ignorance and passion. When Prabhupada arrived on the Jaladutta, and he saw Boston for the first time, saw the American skyline, he said, "All I see is ignorance and passion." It's not possible to, it's very difficult to cultivate Krishna consciousness in that environment. And we see all the devotees who live here in the city, right? Because of the nature of the lifestyle here, it's not conducive for developing Krishna consciousness. Right? Where is conducive for developing Krishna consciousness? Hare Krishna Valley. So we're waiting to see which devotee will come first to live with me there at Hare Krishna Valley and start a spiritual revolution to save humanity and to set the perfect example. Who will be the first to come? Hands up. Sure. Okay. Next verse. I'll keep trying. In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the supreme personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Triyuga, or the Lord who appears in three ages. So, of course, we know that Krishna does appear in Kali Yuga, but his avatar is called Channa Avatar. Channa Avatar means covered incarnation. That's why here Prahlad Maharaj says Krishna is Triyuga. Triyuga means he only appears in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga. It says right here in the Bhagavatam he doesn't come in Kali Yuga. But later in the Bhagavatam it says he does come in Kali Yuga, but the avatar is covered like that. So Lord Chaitanya's incarnation is secret. It is confidential. My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. Thus it has become most polluted and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor in such a status of life. How shall I be able to discuss your activities? Does that sound like anyone you know? Yeah, who? Ourselves. So Prahlad Maharaj is not like this, but Prabhupada points out he is speaking on behalf of us. Because we are lusty, we are poor-hearted, and we are always worried about money. Is that a fair description? It's pretty accurate. That's what we're like. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, anything is possible. Anyone can be delivered. Final verse. My dear Lord, O infallible one, my position is like that of a person who has many wives, all trying to attract him in their own way. For example, the tongue is attracted to palatable dishes, the genitals to sex, and with an attractive woman, and the sense of touch to contact with soft things. The belly, although filled, still wants to eat more, and the ear, not attempting to hear about you, is generally attracted to cinema songs. The sense of smell is attracted to yet another side. The restless eyes are attracted to scenes of sense gratification, and the active senses are attracted elsewhere. In this way, I am certainly embarrassed. So Prabhupada points out in the purport, we have to purify our mind by practice and detachment. Because Arjuna asks Krishna the same question in the Bhagavad Gita, how do I control the mind? And what does Krishna say? Avyas and vairagya. Right? You have to become detached and you have to practice. Practice means you have to beat the mind 100 times in the morning with shoes and 100 times in the evening with broomstick. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.
So now you can go home and grab your broomstick. What is that? What?
Cinema.
Was there cinema in that time? That's a good one. I was waiting for you to ask that one. Thank you, friends. There was no cinema in that time. But I knew that you would ask that question. Please come again.